welcome in. I am Tyrell McLaughlin. You can follow me on Twitter at TNFFTyrell. Make sure you're following the podcast at TNFFPod, at TrueNorthFFB on Twitter. Just hopping on, doing a live best ball tonight. I wanted to do this where I screen share and do it on StreamYard or whatever, but that's, the platform we use to do our live streams is called StreamYard, and you can only do one stream at a time. And these best balls that are live, you have to register for them in advance. So long story short, I couldn't screen share. But what I'll do is in the comments or in the description below, I'll make sure I put my team that I ended up, whatever comes out in the wash, I'll make sure I list below so you can at least see or follow along a little bit. But what we're going to do is talk a lot of players because we are done with a big wave of free agency here. We are looking, we're about 3 weeks away from the NFL draft. So there's a lot of comings and goings and a lot of ADP is shifting. A lot of the market is going up or down, and this draft starts in about a minute and a half, but I actually got the first overall pick in this draft, and it's an MFL 10, by the way. I should specify that it's on fanball.com or whatever. So your typical MFL 10s. And yeah, I got the first overall pick. So really my draft doesn't start for another like 10 minutes because hashtag CMC no matter what. In fact, I am, if you get the first overall pick, make sure you just go in there and select the auto draft right away with CMC, put that pressure on number two right away. So what do we do right, at this point when we're just waiting for our draft to start? So I definitely think one of the secret codes or whatever to doing a best ball, especially in these live drafts where you really have to lean on rankings or ADP more, is to have a customized set of rankings for these best balls. My pinned tweet has a set of them with the MFL. Like if you use Fanball or whatever, or if you're looking to start somewhere, I have the MFL IDs listed in my best ball rankings that are, on Twitter as my pinned tweet, just so you can import the, your rankings, right into, MFL. The other thing you do after your customized ranking, you definitely want to know your opponents. So you're looking at your worthy opponents and, you just usually see the same, degenerates in here. It's always the same motley crew that are popping up in these best balls around the industry, depending on what site you play on. Like if you're on a drafters.com one, you're probably gonna see some guys on that site. Same with the FFPC, and it's no different on these best balls on fanball.com. So I went Christian McCaffrey. The next guy went Alvin Kamara, and I should put some sound on here. The rooster that is absolutely cringeworthy. So volume down. I like that one. That's a good Canadian honk of a horn. See, that's a clown horn. I don't want that. This one's called Dink. Right on. I like chime. Just a little doorbell. Who's at the door? Who knows? Because I don't pick until the turn at the 2-3 turn there. So, the one difference that you'll find on MFL, besides it being full PPR as opposed to some other sites that might not be, or no tight end premium, and having to draft DSTs as opposed to kickers on a site like FFPZ, or none on drafters.com. One of the differences is they do have a minute and a half for your pick, I think, on these live drafts. Or maybe it's just 1 minute even, I think. Yeah, just 1 minute. But they're like Yahoo's just 30 seconds on their new best balls that have popped up and all that. So it's faster on other sites is what I'm getting at. So Alvin Kamara number two, Dalvin Cook number three. This is pretty common, the top three there, and that is how I have players ranked in my top three there. Saquon Barkley at four, Derrick Henry at five, Jonathan Taylor at six. Nobody has been scared about Marlon Mack coming back. Jonathan Taylor's a little bit lower on my rankings. I mean, I haven't come away in a lot of best balls with Jonathan Taylor just because I am a little bit lower on him. Like I'll take a Travis Kelce, Aaron Jones ahead of him. And I almost want Nick Chubb ahead of him as well, especially our most recent episode of the True North Fantasy Football podcast on YouTube. And in the feed there was with Graham Goatfield, of course, and he made that point that he was higher on Jonathan Taylor than Nick Chubb, which might have been the incentive I needed to push me over the top, which it's one of those things where actually I think maybe Jonathan Taylor might be higher in my rankings, but Nick Chubb's a guy that when I'm looking down the barrel on the clock, I end up taking more often than Jonathan Taylor. Devontae Adams, first wide receiver off the board at 1-7. That's much earlier than you usually see. And if you look at my rankings, I think I have like 11 of my top or 12 of my top 13. Like I think my top 12 players are not a wide receiver. because I do have Travis Kelce in there, but I don't have Davante Adams until that turn, like maybe just getting into that second round with Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs a little bit lower, DeAndre Hopkins a little bit lower than that. Cam Akers at the 1-8, he is really just shooting up boards. People are really banking on that volume. Travis Kelce at 1-9, definitely love that pick. Tyreek Hill at 1-10. And Tyreek Hill's a player that once I take, I feel compelled a lot of the time to go zero RB or at least a version of that. Whereas, you know, I'm not saying he's a high variance. Well, obviously he's a fucking high variance player, but I'm not saying he's giving you bust weeks that often, although he has in the past. But I think those are evaporating a little bit. But what I'm saying is it's nice to have that floor play with like a Stephon Diggs, you know, is going to see or at least combine a couple guys who have those elite spiked weeks that you're getting out of them. And Stephon Diggs and Ezekiel Elliott at 111, Stephon Diggs at 112. The guy who went Stephon Diggs took George Kittle at the turn. Early tight end is a profitable strategy. We know that. And it's usually because the talent just drops off so quickly. But George Kittle, who's his quarterback going to be? And Brandon Ayuk taking that sophomore step. We know he did what he did last year with the absence. Like, George Kittle wasn't there. A lot of the splits are the one concern we would have with a Brandon Ayuk. Nick Chubb at the 2-2, Aaron Jones at the 2-3, and Austin Eckler at the 2-4. Those are the two running backs I just find myself with a ton of when you look at your exposure or whatever in your portfolio. Austin Eckler and Aaron Jones are definitely two of my higher-owned running backs near the top of the draft. Nuke Hopkins at the 2-5, and I should probably start queuing guys up, right, instead of rambling along about these guys. So James Robinson, Antonio Gibson, DK Metcalf, all these guys are still on the board. Adding a Christian McCaffrey gives me a lot of leniency. Obviously, I want to try and start attacking wide receiver pretty quickly here, and I'm definitely keying in on wide receivers over running backs, and I have, you know, I'm about six picks away here. I'm looking at DK Metcalf, Michael Thomas, Calvin Ridley, AJ Brown. Like, those are the four. Justin Jefferson, the five that I'm really targeting right in this spot. And because I think once you get past that tier there that I just named, so let's say Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, Calvin Ridley, Michael Thomas, DK Metcalf. After that tier, you're looking at Terry McLaurin, Allen Robinson, still really good wide receivers, but I think these are guys that we see more in that wide receiver 8 to 20 range or whatever, you know, 8 to 12 range. They seem pretty solid, but I'm not sure they have that bona fide top 5 upside where I think all the guys we named, we've either seen them accomplish that top 5 season in the NFL already, or we definitely see that upside, you know, when you look at a guy like AJ Brown. With Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis leaving. So Justin Jefferson went right off the board there. And then DeAndre Swift and Antonio Gibson. DeAndre Swift is somebody that I just keep, I wouldn't say avoiding, but, you know, ahead of all these names like an Antonio Gibson and James Robinson, I just have a hard time taking DeAndre Swift because it feels like he's playing on the worst team in the NFL in 2021. Maybe the Houston Texans, but I think Detroit and Houston are like the two clear teams that are going to be the worst football teams to attach to for fantasy in 2021. And usually, you know, I love DeAndre Swift. He was my number one running back in that class ahead of Jonathan Taylor, talent-wise. But I just think in Dynasty, and, you know, he's much higher. But in redraft this year, I think if you look at my rankings, it's a reflection of me just having a lot of skepticism about how many touchdowns, how much offense is actually going to be in the Motor City this year. So Antonio Gibson, James Robinson, I'm two picks away here. I think this guy may auto pick. He did. He auto picked DK Metcalf, which sucks. That's a guy I really wanted. But with, you know, my two picks coming up on the turn, I do have three of those wide receivers. So that's why you queue up guys, right? Because now it's, you know, this guy's about to make my pick for me. I mean, he might go J.K. Dobbins. He might go Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, Darren Waller, Joe Mixon. There are lots of running backs on the board. And I have a lot of, so we went Darren Waller, which actually makes my decision kind of hard because I have AJ Brown third. Like, I think I would get a lot of shit right now from listeners who would hear that I have Michael Thomas, Calvin Ridley, AJ Brown. That's how I have these three wide receivers ranked. And I know people love A.J. Brown, and I'm actually having a hard time making this decision. I think Michael Thomas would be the universal third wide receiver in this group. So what I'll do is I'll lean on the masses and see how my team... I want Michael Thomas. So obviously I'll take him in the third round, just so it looks better on my ADP, right? When I read this team back. You know what? Let's just go Calvin Ridley. And let's go Michael Thomas. So passing up on A.J. Brown, giving A.J. Brown to somebody in the third round. This is a 12-team league as well, so somebody's going to get A.J. Brown, you know, up in the late 20s here. But my team starting Christian McCaffrey, Calvin Ridley, Michael Thomas is really solid in my opinion. Why do I hate A.J. Brown? I don't at all. In fact, I think he could be among the league leaders when it comes to market share next season. A guy who could see 30% of his team's targets, a monopoly on some of the high leverage targets too, when it comes to some air yards, contested catches, red zone targets, all that stuff. But especially Jonnu Smith, you know, you remember he had quite the niche, he really carved out a role inside the end zone last year. But my point is that Tennessee is going to run the ball. They're the pass heaviest, the run heaviest team over the last 3 and 4 years. Over the last 2 years, it's Baltimore, you know. But, what is that 25 to 30% share of the targets going to look like? It's probably going to look like about 125 targets. And I also think there's an argument to be made with Jonnu going out of the wind, going out, and Corey Davis going out, that, you know, there is a lot of room for defenses to just bracket cover A.J. Brown on every play. Obviously, he is so elite in with the ball in his hands. He's a monster. He's so hard to bring down that he'll transcend a lot of that. I just think that Calvin Ridley has that top five upside, especially if Julio Jones was to take a step back, which is possible at any time. You know, I'm not projecting that, actually. I think he's of value right now. Somebody I would be targeting once you drafted Calvin Ridley, trying to build this entire Atlanta Falcons offense, which I know is very hard to do when you're picking. It's one of those things where draft position does come into play. I know I probably won't be able to do that because of where I pick and how many picks are in between me. But long story short, there's a lot of range of outcomes for Calvin Ridley to have that top five season. Not to mention, I think he's locked into that top 15 season at the wide receiver position. I think the reason that there would be any skepticism from, for Calvin Ridley would be how much do they incorporate the run in Atlanta here with Arthur Smith coming in, because that's definitely a possibility. They signed Mike Davis, my boy. And I also think they're in the running for drafting one of these top three running backs in the NFL draft at the end of April here. But I don't think, like, the volume's coming down. The Atlanta Falcons wide receivers have enjoyed the biggest pie in the NFL in recent years. But I don't think the volume coming down has to come at the expense of fantasy points for them, because they truly could be very efficient, like we saw the Tennessee Titans be over the last two seasons under Arthur Smith's tutelage. I think those two offenses kind of meet in the middle somewhere. They're obviously chasing that 2016 scheme in Atlanta, where Matt Ryan had so much success in areas of the game, like facets of the game, like play action. And then Michael Thomas, I think, is a really similar one. Like, I'm not saying this guy's going to explode or anything. I mean, this guy has the NFL record for a lot of things, catches. And no matter what, he is not going to have Drew Brees throwing to him anymore, who's, you know, arguably the most accurate quarterback in NFL history. And all that aside, I just think the offense, we don't know what we're going to get in New Orleans, but I think we know what the floor is for Michael Thomas, and it's really shaping up to be a super condensed offense there with Emmanuel Sanders heading out. And I just think Michael Thomas has a really high floor that's kind of being slept on when it comes to him finishing no lower than like wide receiver 15, because he's probably going to see upwards of 150 targets easily. But I also think there's a ceiling all of a sudden that we could see Michael Thomas use like we never have before, because they do have Jameis Winston coming in at quarterback, and that's a longer story, but it is somebody at quarterback, because we're building three quarterback builds here in best balls right now. Anyways, I might be targeting Jameis Winston, but I think there's a ceiling there, and we could talk about air yards and what Sean Payton did with Drew Brees in the early 2010s and everything, if that style of play is any semblance of how they want Jameis to play going forward. But I think Michael Thomas is a super big value right now in best ball, especially in a scenario where you take Christian McCaffrey and you want those targets from your wide receiver one, even though I technically, I guess, took Calvin Ridley as my wide receiver one here. So let's try and go back here because I was really rambling there. So Michael Thomas, AJ Brown, J.K. Dobbins went at the 3-3, Patrick Mahomes at the 3-4. I don't like him in the third. I love him in the fourth. Keenan Allen, 3-5. Najee Harris at the 3-6. Love Najee Harris. Josh Jacobs at the 3-7. Definitely taking Miles Sanders and Joe Mixon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, all those guys over him. Those are the three running backs who went right behind Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, Joe Mixon, CEH. And then we saw those wide receivers I mentioned before. We see a wide receiver run here, but namely Allen Robinson and Terry McLaurin. And then we see Amari Cooper, who is definitely a value, I think, in the fourth round. And CeeDee Lamb, his teammate, went five picks later. Mike Evans in the middle there. Robert Woods, I think, is a good value too. Not unlike a Michael Thomas, Robert Woods with Matthew Stafford coming in at quarterback possibly gets used a little bit, or his, you know, his usage expands or whatever you want to call it. I think we could see some upside instead of him, like via a higher average depth of target basically. And Travis Etienne at the 4-4, I think, is a really good pick. And then Julio Jones sniped from me at the 4-5. I cannot believe you can get Julio Jones in the middle of the fourth round. David Montgomery at the 4-6. David Montgomery is definitely a good pick in the middle of the fourth round. In a dynasty startup, I'm not touching David Montgomery, but in best ball, I'm taking him if he's there in the middle of the fourth round. CeeDee Lamb, I mentioned, the 4-7. DJ Moore, just a steal getting towards the end of the fourth round. Chris Godwin and Deontay Johnson there. So I wasn't really paying attention. I definitely have some wide receivers I could target here, but being at the 4-5 turn, I should have been paying more attention because you want to start making sure you're not passing up on guys. You want to make sure you get in your team build here. So, and I was thinking about DJ Moore too, because I really wanted like a DJ Moore or a Julio so I could start a cool little build here. I was thinking it would be risky, but I could take like a Mark Andrews or somebody here and hope I get on the way back at the end of the sixth, seventh era, Lamar Jackson, but that's just so risky. And there is some nice running backs on the board here that I don't usually get to consider. And I think the perfect guy that sticks out to me here is Chris Carson. So I'll take Chris Carson at the end of the fourth. And now I have to make a big decision. And I think I'm going to take T. Higgins because of a conversation we had with Graham Barfield last night. So the other wide receivers I am considering here, if I'm going wide receiver, I have T. Higgins, Adam Thielen, and Kenny Golladay. I have them ranked Adam Thielen, T. Higgins, Kenny Golladay, but I'm going to take T. Higgins here because of the upside and because I have Calvin Ridley and Michael Thomas on my team. So my team right now is Christian McCaffrey, Chris Carson, who obviously comes back in Seattle. I mean, he's been an RB1 over the last 3 years combined or whatever, and averages about 15 points per game when he's healthy. So I think he's borderline RB1 status. So you're getting it like mid RB2 costs right now in best ball. I think there's a little bit of a lag. So because it's a live best ball that I'm in here, people rely more on ADP. This is what I talked about with rankings. So getting a Chris Carson at the 4-5 turn won't be something that you'll see very often in a best ball. So that's why I couldn't pass up the value there. Because you're definitely going to get those spiked weeks. And I said, with the skill sets, with Christian McCaffrey locked into 100-plus targets, I don't really care if Chris Carson is involved in the passing game. I definitely play it safer than sorry when it comes to roster construction anyways. Like, I'm going to operate under the assumption here that Chris Carson does not have a very big role in the passing game. So I still want to build in more receiving at the running back position later in the draft. Adam Thielen, this is what I thought was interesting. So T. Higgins and Adam Thielen. Why I'm kind of leaning T. Higgins here is because Graham made a really like good point about I don't know if Cincinnati can afford to not take Sewell. Like, you can just, and then kick Jonah Williams to the right tackle position. And that kind of would take Ja'Marr Chase off the table, which is the only hesitancy you might have right now. Because I was earlier in the offseason kind of making the case that Cincinnati is paying so little at the wide receiver position. Like, they have such nice control here with Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins, Joe Burrow. And you have room to maybe go out and sign a free agency, a big wide receiver name in free agency. Or you can still add a big name wide receiver. Obviously, the reunion factor there with Joe Burrow. and Ja'Marr Chase. But yeah, so long story short, that's why I took T. Higgins. And on the flip side, I think Adam Thielen is a guy who's actually at risk of his team going wide receiver in the first round and possibly looking for his long-term replacement this year with a decent class, and obviously a class where Minnesota's in a position to maybe get one of those game changers, like a Jalen Waddle or something, or even a Devontae Smith, to run opposite Justin Jefferson, and that's a really dynamic duo at the wide receiver position for the next like 5 to 10 years. I think Brandon Ayuk at the 5'8 is a really good value. And Dak Prescott at the 5'6. Could you imagine if they go Kyle Pitts? That Dak Prescott is going to be the QB1. So after I went T. Higgins, Tyler Lockett is really good value in the 5th round too. Obviously, he just signed that mega extension too, so I think Tyler Lockett should be moving up people's rankings just because that kind of signals that they don't give a shit about giving Russ another weapon in the draft. Like they got Tyler Lockett and DK. That's all you get, Russ. Melvin Gordon at the 5'3. I just don't want the lead back very much in Denver, especially when I usually find Melvin Gordon will have to be at the expense of one of these wide receivers. Like we could go down the rabbit hole of hit rates and how low the hit rates are at running back in between that, you know, let's call it 4th to 6th round range, and how juicy, let's call it the 3rd to 6th round is for wide receivers. That's where the hit rates are just staggering on both ends. Like the running backs are on the bottom of the spectrum and wide receivers at the top of the spectrum. And there's also trends that we've seen over in recent years where those wide receivers are actually where a lot of the breakout wide receivers are coming. Like wide receivers drafted in that, say, 10 to 20 range, 10 to 26 range ADP-wise, are really where a lot of the breakouts are coming, where a lot of the value via ADP is coming for sure at the wide receiver position. And some of those wide receivers, you know, especially in that like 13 to 24 range of ADP, end up being equally likely to finish in the top 24 as guys who are drafted in the top 12 at the wide receiver position in recent years, at least. So we'll see if that rebounds a little bit. But, you know, you see the depth, me getting a T. Higgins while I'm still considering an Adam Thielen. You know, these guys are pretty good values in the 5th round. Like I said, Kenny Golladay there went at the 5'4", right after Melvin Gordon. And then Mark Andrews, Dak Prescott, somebody I am really intrigued by. I have a lot of shares of him, especially if you can sneak in like CD Lamb. And like I have a couple teams where I have that entire Cowboys team built. The problem is you just have to sacrifice like 3 picks in between that 3rd to 6th round. And it's interesting because I'm looking at this. If I had done what I've done a couple times and got Amari Cooper and CD Lamb, and usually you have to be at the back of the 3rd round, early 4th round to accomplish this. And then you have to rely on being able to get Dak in that 6th round. And then you look at the ADP here, and that would not have worked out for me in this draft. I would have been a little poopy pantsed. And obviously you can scoop up Michael Gallup a little bit later and probably grab Kyle Pitts now, just in case, who is, I'll tell you guys later, but he's going in like, I'll point it out when he goes, but he's going in like that 10th to 12th round range every time. Speaking of rookies, right after Brandon Ayuk, who I was, I love Brandon Ayuk, and if they add a vertical element to that passing game in San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk is the huge benefactor of that, and they had absolutely zero vertical element to their fucking passing game last year in San Francisco. But Javonte Williams at the 5'9", that's not the earliest I've seen him or anything, but I'm saying that you can get this guy in the late 5th, early 6th round, and it's not outside the range. You know, there's a scenario that Javonte Williams is actually the number one running back off the board. And if you look at, like, if you follow prop bets for, like, the odds for some of these prop bets, like, Javonte Williams being the running back one off the board is, like, plus 350 or something, but it started, like, plus 800, plus 900 coming in. Like, this is, like, a month ago. So, Javonte Williams is really building steam. He's just so young. You know, we talk about Derrick Henry being, like, a running back who's a linebacker. Javonte Williams is an ex-linebacker, so I got to concentrate here. I am really, really interested in Chase Edmonds here. Highest player on my board. Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds are like those two running backs. I just talked about hit rates, but they're kind of the two that I'm identifying. And then Myles Gaskin as well, so I'm probably going to take one of those three guys and pair him maybe with Robbie Anderson because I have Christian McCaffrey, and I really like Robbie Anderson's value right now. Like, taking him in the 7th round seems unfair. And I doubt I'll be drafting Sam Darnold. I would maybe if I had had have been able to get my hands on DJ Moore over T. Higgins. So that's not a bad. So he went Odell. Like, thanks, guys. So they went Cortland Sutton, Juju, Odell right before me. You know, it's not the, like, I could take two wide receivers here. Wouldn't be the worst play. And I would have loved to have seen one of those quarterbacks fall to me, to be honest. Like, looking at it, I have Chris Carson and Russell Wilson. I could really monopolize the rushing touchdowns in Seattle. I would get every rushing touchdown, basically, in Seattle that could possibly be scored. You know, Robbie Anderson gives me two of the explosive players in that Carolina offense that we have a lot of faith in, Joe Brady and everything. So I'm going to make Robbie Anderson, you know, he's going to be my pick here because I'm really not sure if I want to take one of these running backs just because I really like having Christian McCaffrey and Chris Carson. I feel like I could wait on the running back position and maybe look at Russell Wilson here, which, you know, seventh round might even sound rich to some people, but I do think there's a pretty clear teardrop here. If Justin Herbert is off the board, I'm going to take him. So yeah, Justin Herbert went at the 6-7. And I'm very comfortable waiting at running back here with Christian McCaffrey and Chris Carson. In fact, if Chris Carson wasn't on the board, I probably would have just one running back in this draft. So let's do that. You know, I think Chris Carson and Russell will, like, we talk about stacking and best ball and stuff and building, and you're just building in high variance all, and you want to monopolize everything you can, right? So I feel like I have monopolized that rushing touchdown upside that exists in Seattle because it is going to be one of the higher scoring offenses, we hope. And if Chris Carson stays healthy, having Russell Wilson, who is obviously who all DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, all that trickles down from Russell Wilson's elite efficiency. You know, he's one of the best touchdown scorers of all time. He's one of the best, you know, deep passers in the league. He's one of the best inside the red zone, if not the best. So he has all this high leverage upside, not to mention he can, you know, add with his legs. And also, I think, I can't remember, I tweeted out a stat about rushing touchdown leaders since 2018. And among all quarterbacks who had like 200 carries in that span, he just, he has like 8 less touchdowns than like any other guy. I'll have to look that one up and get back to everyone on that one. But just because I'm kind of trying to concentrate here because I don't want to lose sight of who I should be queuing up going forward. This is where you want to really be honing in on how you want to build your team and stuff. But Russell Wilson obviously made a lot of noise, didn't get a lot of, you know, it doesn't look like they're going to go with this fucking antiquated offense that Pete Carroll just continues to win this battle over an elite quarterback in Russell Wilson. But if they were to ever turn this offense over to him, if we could just get that upside, like I'm talking, we have seen 11 straight seasons, which is the identical tenure that we have had John Schneider and Pete Carroll here for. 11 straight seasons that the Seahawks have thrown 575 times or less. And they're the only team who've thrown under 575 times 11 straight seasons. No one else is even close for active streaks. So it's just so unfair when you have a guy like Russell Wilson and you think about the, you know, just the possibility that he could be coached by Pete Carroll for his entire career. But like I'm saying, if he has that 400 fantasy point upside if they ever did just heap that volume on him and turn this offense over to the passing game. Like a lot of the league is trending towards. So I want to point out some picks here, though, because like Leonard Fournette going before Chase Edmonds seems insane. Chase Edmonds is somebody I have a ton of right now. Like I mentioned, him and Raheem Mostert and Miles Gaskin are kind of the three running backs I'm targeting in that seventh round. If you can get him in the eighth round, I feel like you're stealing, especially in a format like this where it's full PPR and you don't have to decide when to start these guys, right? So the guys I wanted to point out, where were they? Lamar Jackson, that's the one. So I would have, if I tried to go Mark Andrews, like I was propositioning earlier, Lamar Jackson would have got sniped 5-11 right before the turn. And then I'm looking at, I wouldn't have had a chance at Lamar Jackson. I needed him to go to the end of the sixth. So Tyler Boyd and Kareem Hunt went at the 5-12, 6-1. I like both those picks. I think that's actually really good value on Kareem Hunt when it comes to market value. Like you're not going to get Kareem Hunt at the end of the fifth round very often. I've taken him in like the middle of the fifth round, but I even don't have a lot of exposure because he usually goes even before that. Will Fuller still going in that sixth round. Nobody's worried about him going to Miami on such a low contract. Nobody's worried about them possibly adding Ja'Marr Chase. Nobody's worried about Tua not taking that sophomore step. So I think there's a lot of questions still with Will Fuller. But, you know, annually he's a really good best ball pick, but it's ironic that he might be the most expensive he's been in years all of a sudden in his worst situation with zero continuity. Chase Claypool and Ja'Marr Chase both going in the sixth round. Ja'Marr Chase is somebody I've just got a ton of, but usually in the seventh and eighth rounds. But I guess rookie hype is starting to build as we get into the middle of April. Chase Claypool, speaking of hype, you know, the fight has pushed his ADP down a little bit. Maybe he does get a game or two suspension. I don't know what's going to happen with that. Justin Herbert at the 6-7, DJ Chark, Cortland Sutton, Juju Smith-Schuster, and that's where I took Robbie and Russell Wilson. And I did let Justin Herbert going in that late sixth round factor into my decision with Russell Wilson. And I do obviously also acknowledge that Russell Wilson has just killed fantasy owners, probably literally lost you fantasy football championships in your home leagues in back-to-back years. Like, he's literally played like an MVP in the first half of the season for, you know, in 2019 and last year in 2020. And then he, you know, proceeded to just fall off a cliff. He wasn't even a top 10 quarterback over the second half of the season in either 2019 or 2020. I recognize that, but he gives you so many spiked weeks that, he's still a really good quarterback, and I really don't mind having that, you know, low week, you know, outcome in my mind because we're doing so many three quarterback builds in best ball right now anyways. And speaking of which, I might be looking at another quarterback here anyways, because this is kind of like, if I don't take one in the ninth round, quarterbacks are moving up, you know what I mean, in the ADP. So Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill, Trevor Lawrence, and Joe Burrow are guys that I'm targeting here. Like, if I want to, I might take one of those guys here at this juncture. And I'm just looking at, because I have to definitely add tight end soon too. But they're really, like, this is where tight end gets really tough this year, because Dallas Goedert just went two picks before me. Definitely a guy I would have been targeting there. At the end of the eighth round, early ninth, Zach Ertz will almost certainly get traded.
You are on deck.
And now, yeah, I got some funny guys at the top of my rankings here. So just for, like, I might still avoid running back here. I haven't decided quite yet. But I do have Mike Davis, David Johnson, and Kenyon Drake, and Damian Harris, Jeff Wilson, Kenneth Gainwell, and some of my top guys here. Corey Davis with no Sam Darnold. It's an interesting one. So none of these quarterbacks have gone. That's really interesting. I wonder if I could play devil's advocate with quarterback. But the problem with that is I know at the end, you know, when I get, this is something you have to factor in is, knowing at the, you know, here at the end of the eighth, early ninth, I know at the end of the 10th, early 11th, I'm going to need to add tight ends because I'm not right now and I have zero tight ends on my roster and I probably want three. So it's a tough position I'm in right now. I'm probably going to end up taking a running back here. So I'm going to go Joe Burrow. And I might get Buck Wild here, guys. So I went Russell Wilson and Joe Burrow there. And should I take the guy I probably should have taken, which is Ryan Tannehill? I'm not going to. Like, see, this is where it's easy. Because say I drafted A.J. Brown instead of Calvin Ridley or Michael Thomas, then I'm adding Ryan Tannehill here because he's a higher wide receiver in my roster, you know, construction than T. Higgins, who is who I'm pairing Joe Burrow with. And I obviously don't have like a Tyler Boyd and not a lot of, you know, options beyond that in this offense. So actually, I got to make another pick here before I, and it might be Mike Davis just to gross everyone out here, but I am just so big on Mike Davis and say, like, this is where I'm scooping up a lot of Mike Davis right around now. Dallas, nope. So let's go Mike Davis just to gross everyone out as a top 100 pick in this draft. Obviously signed with Atlanta. Atlanta obviously signed Arthur Smith as their head coach, who's going to roll out that outside zone scheme that we're seeing sweeping the nation, the Shanahan scheme, the McVay scheme. Everyone's running. Everyone's doing it. The Kubiak scheme. So these outside zone run schemes really build efficiency in for the offense. And, you know, honestly, Atlanta is underperformed when it comes to how much capital they've invested in that offensive line. But I have some faith that offensive line can actually put out a decent performance with the tutelage that they're going to have in Atlanta. And Mike Davis, obviously, we know was a top 12 running back last year at 1,000-yard season. Like, he's a good running back, one of the most elusive running backs in all of football last year. And that's on the ground and in the passing game. He also got zero help from his offensive line in Carolina last year. Look up his yards before contact per attempt. So Mike Davis, I think, performed like a borderline elite fucking running back last year, and he's getting no respect. And so taking him in the top 100 might sound bold, but when I have Christian McCaffrey on my team, I think I can obviously take some risks at the running back position, we could say. And I think Mike Davis has a lot of benefits. Like, I think the reason his ADP suppressed, the reason he didn't, and I just want to say that I called this. Like, Mike Davis was the running back who was going to sign in free agency, was going to see that spike in value. He has seen that. He has experienced that. But if Atlanta was to not be able to get their grubby little paws on a top three running back in this draft, then where are you going to take Mike Davis, right? So I think that's the proposition the debate I'm having. And maybe I could have got him at the end of the 10th, early 11th. That's very possible. I don't think I would have. But I think the only reason I might have been able to is because it is a live best ball and there is a little bit of lag when it comes to the ADPs. You might see some of the guys who have seen their ADP soar, like a Chris Carson and Mike Davis, push down the boards a little bit. I stand by that pick. And I really think now it frees me up basically to just make sure I add my tight ends in the 10th and 11th round. Who I'd love to add is Mike Gesicki. I like Mike Gesicki. What would be really fun, and I might fucking do it, is Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, both at the end of the 10th or late 11th here. And yes, we are only halfway through this draft, 10th round. So my apologies, but that's what I was saying about these picks being a full minute. I see both sides of the coin. Like, obviously, you've heard me go into panic mode a little bit here, maybe, but 30 seconds sucks. But so 1 minute, it takes, these drafts take long, like an hour and a half, maybe sometimes, but this one's definitely going to be shorter than an hour and a half, but I'll, so yeah, Damian Harris, Kenyon Drake, and David Johnson are the running backs that are going in that 9th round. Jeff Wilson as well, Kenneth Gainwell as well. So you can see that my rankings are very market-based right now, and that's what I was kind of maybe getting at off the top with the whole Nick Chubb, Jonathan Taylor thing. I might have Jonathan Taylor ranked higher, but I have so much more conviction about Nick Chubb, so I find myself taking Nick Chubb a lot more. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of players that I'll have ranked because of where they're going and because I don't want to have zero shares of somebody like Matt Ryan. As much as I might not like him as a best ball pick, you know, I like him a lot better, obviously, in a format where I have Calvin Ridley as my wide receiver one. Like, I'm looking at Matt Ryan in this one, but what I'm saying is I don't have a lot of Matt Ryan, but I will grab shares and have them ranked in a spot where I won't lose sight of where I'll have to take them if I want to get a share. Like, they won't be out of sight where I have to scroll down 18 times to find them. So looking at that, Matt Ryan is somebody I was queuing up there. That's kind of why I went on the tangent about him. But I do want to make sure I am queuing some guys up here. So I'm going to make a faux pas here where I'm going to head into the 12th round with just 4 wide receivers on my team. I really don't like to do that very often. But it is because I really do like all 4 of these wide receivers. So maybe run down my team here really quick. I have Calvin Ridley, Michael Thomas, T. Higgins, Robbie Anderson. And then running backs are Christian McCaffrey, Chris Carson, Mike Davis. And then I have Russell Wilson and Joe Burrow already at quarterback. And I know quarterback is looking like I'm investing a lot in it, but I think that's the way that fantasy football is trending, even in one quarterback leagues. And in best ball, you're going to have 3 anyways. And you can look at hit rates via roster construction on sites like RotoViz. And taking all of your quarterbacks, no matter if you do 2 quarterback builds or 3 quarterback builds, you should be taking all of your quarterbacks before round 12 or so anyways, just because of hit rates that are associated with that. So Matt Ryan did go. So I didn't really want Matt Ryan. That's the funny thing. Like, even though Calvin really is my wide receiver one. So I'm looking at those tight ends still. There's definitely, Hunter Henry just went too. Darn it. So Mike Gesicki and Jonnu would be, you know, my picks here, I think. I'm just looking if there's way, like, I don't think I want to reach on anybody else. Like, I have Tyler Higbee on this list as well. but I think Rob Gronkowski is somebody I could wait on if I wanted to. Hayden Hurst is really interesting because, you know, I wouldn't mind taking him in the 11th because normally he's somebody I don't have a ton of, but having Calvin Ridley, I wouldn't mind having two pieces in that offense. The problem is, do the Atlanta Falcons take Kyle Pitts? That's the scary thing, which I don't think they do, even though that's a very buzzy landing spot for him right now. But that small possibility is kind of scaring me away from Hayden Hurst, not to mention just everything else about Hayden Hurst. So what am I looking at for running back then? Because that's not a... Yeah, I guess I should probably just wait and add a couple running backs. A little bit later, I'd be looking at somebody like Chuba Hubbard. And I don't know how that's going to play out. So I got completely sniped here on all these tight ends. Irv Smith went. Mike Gesicki just went. Hunter Henry's gone. Kyle Pitts is gone. Like I said, I wanted to point that one out. He went at the 10-4. Fourth pick. 10-4, good buddy. Kyle Pitts. Ryan Tannehill, won't see him go in that 10th round very often. Corey Davis did go in that 10th round. Naheem Hines still going in that 10th round range, which I don't mind Naheem Hines, especially on when you're trying to build in some pass catching and you're in that running back room. But with Marlon Mack coming back, I just think it's interesting that we might see a three-headed backfield there. Marvin Jones at the 10-8. So Marvin Jones going before, really. So maybe I should just add Trevor Lawrence here because, you know, Jonnu Smith, Tyler Higbee, I don't really care between either of them, to be honest. Let's see. So who scored more fantasy points last year? That's what I'd like to know between the two. I mean, I think Jonnu probably did because of that tear he had. So I should go Jonnu. He had a good season to start the year last year. He had so much involvement in the end zone in Tennessee, which, fuck, Cam could throw 20 passes next year inside the 10-yard line. But my point there is So I am going to do that. So I'm going to go Jonnu Smith. And should I do it? I think I'm going to do it. And I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is really fucking good. And he is so good that he attracted a head coach like Urban Meyer. We're about to enter into an era in Jacksonville that we've never experienced ever. It hasn't happened yet. So Trevor Lawrence at the 11th round is kind of crazy to me. I don't see him go very often earlier than like the middle of the 9th round, but he does consistently go in that like 9th to 11th round range. But taking him in the 11th round, I'm very happy with because I think it's a big teardrop. Not a teardrop in terms of what you're going to get on a week-to-week basis, but I think this is where a ton of quarterbacks start to go. And I think Trevor Lawrence might have the highest upside of any of those guys. He might deliver the most 25 fantasy point performances, even as a rookie out of all these guys. So Kirk Cousins went two picks later after I took Trevor Lawrence. And then you're looking at Baker Mayfield, Carson Wentz, Derek Carr, Tua Tagovailoa, Ben Roethlisberger, Daniel Dimes, Jameis Winston, Justin Fields. And definitely I like Jameis Winston. I was talking about him because I have Michael Thomas, but I'm just done with my quarterbacks now. I'm definitely going to still hone in on tight end here, when I get to the 12-13 turn. And wide receiver, I definitely, putting on the back burner here. And running back, honestly, when I have Christian McCaffrey, Chris Carson, I really don't mind putting it on the back burner for as long as I have to. And then when I look at having just Jonnu Smith here, I think I'm going to have to make a decision. And that's another reason that I kind of built my quarterback room very strong. So I have Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, the last two first overall picks. Just realized that. I should have had Kyler instead of Russ, but I got Russ in the 7th, so I'll take that. But Russell Wilson, Joe Burrow, and Trevor Lawrence, obviously a very strong, probably looks like I've, overspent at the quarterback position, but having that kind of assurance at the quarterback position, especially because you got to remember that it's automatically going to plug in whichever one of those three quarterbacks scores the highest amount of points in any given week. And out of those three, I'm going to get a pretty darn high performance in each and every week. So getting to my point, having just Jonnu Smith at tight end, I might just bank on, Jonnu got paid and he's going to have a big year and he's going to be used really creatively by Bill. But what I'm saying is I don't care if I kind of have punted tight end in theory, and I might even go with a two tight end build. And then what I would do in that instance is I'll try and build a three defense build. Like, you have to draft team defenses in MFL, and it's a very underrated, you know, there's a lot of strategy you can apply, a lot of game theory you can apply when it comes to drafting team defenses. And if I decide to do what I might decide to do at the tight end position, and that's theoretically punt it by just having Jonnu Smith and another guy, I'll definitely try and build the other onesie positions to be some of the better ones in the league, which I feel like I've done with Russell Wilson, Joe Burrow, and Trevor Lawrence. And if you could possibly get your hands on three of the top defenses in this draft, I'll have accomplished that at the other onesie position here. Not to mention I have Christian McCaffrey, who can definitely carry my running back position, and Calvin Ridley, Michael Thomas, T. Higgins, Robbie Anderson is a really good wide receiver core. So I think a lot of this, you know, might come down to how well my wide receiver core performs, because I've put a lot of faith into just four guys here. This is a start three wide receiver format. So yeah, we'll see how that plays out. And you know, tight end is something I'll have to monitor here. Quarterback, I don't have to look at. And we have to keep in mind what I'm doing is avoiding quarterback here when a lot of teams are in the range where they feel compelled to start filling out that quarterback position, or desperate even to do so if they're in the know when it comes to some of those hit rates. So that's why I could end up seeing a Hayden Hurst fall all the way to the 12th round. That's why I didn't take him. That's why I could have Tyler Higbee, I think, possibly fall this far, even though he's one of the higher players, if not the highest player in all of ADP right now. Left on the board, he is the second highest. Hayden Hurst, yeah. So Hayden Hurst and Jameson Crowder, who doesn't count because he probably gets cut from the Jets for the record. And why I was talking about this tight end strategy is because, you know, in theory, tight end is not unlike quarterback, where you should be adding all of your tight ends. No matter how many you add, you should be adding two or three inside of that, you know, that 13th round, I would say. Like, don't add any tight ends after the 13th round. Don't add any quarterbacks after the 13th round. They're bad picks. They just really, really rarely work out. Not to mention this is where you can start to stab at running back and hit on these high variance running backs later in the draft, right? That's why I don't mind having just three running backs right now, because there is a lot of running backs we can take advantage of the pockets of the offseason that we find ourselves in, pre-NFL draft, maybe get our hands on some rookies a little bit later. And also just look at some high variance backups, because I have a Christian McCaffrey and a Chris Carson, and even a Mike Davis. Like, I still like Mike Davis. I still like him. James Conner, Rob Gronkowski, Henry Ruggs in the 12th round. So Hayden Hurst, these guys, yeah, I'm going to keep getting sniped by tight end. So I should actually probably cue some guys up here, because this is what I'm looking at. Like a Zach, and this is what I keep finding. Like, I almost knew this was going to happen if I took Trevor Lawrence, because Tyler Higbee is my desperation play here. Do I want to take Zach Ertz, you know, in the 12th, 13th round? I don't know. That would be my next highest ranked tight end. And then my next highest guys are Adam Trautman, Cole Kmet, Anthony Firkser, Austin Hooper. And that would be reaching for those players. Cole Kmet and Adam Trautman, the sophomore tight ends, they didn't hit some of the thresholds that we like a rookie tight end to hit, to paint the picture of that big sophomore breakout season coming, but they're definitely easily the two top candidates. I think Adam Trautman, is much more attractive on this team because I have Michael Thomas. Like, imagine if Adam Trautman did take that sophomore step. Imagine this offense is a condensed one. I think I would definitely be getting a lot of value there out of Adam Trautman. I find instances where you can do like the Adam Trautman, Jameis Winston, in like the 13th, 14th round and stuff. Like, you can get values on those guys, but it might not last, is what I'm saying. So, of course, Tyler Higbee right before me, Blake Jarwin. So maybe I might have to take Zach Ertz here. I could try and wait and take those sophomore tight ends in the next little range here. So running backs, I'm looking at Daryl Henderson, Mike Boone. But these are guys that I can actually probably wait on. Devin Singletary doesn't really do it for me. We just know the market share and all that story. So I do have four pretty strong wide receivers. So should I maybe go for some upside here? That is actually probably what I should do, eh? So I am. I'm going to go a little bit off the board here, actually. So I'm going to take Gabriel Davis with that first pick.
You are up.
And running back's really not doing it for me here either. So if I looked at ADP, you're looking at Devin Singletary, James White. And, you know, if you're wondering where that tight end market share in New England's going to come from, it's going to come a lot from James White. I think, actually, Alexander Mattison is a really interesting pick here, especially because I have Christian McCaffrey, I have Mike Davis, who I think that is some pass-catching work there at the running back position. Daryl Henderson, though, I have him ranked much higher. And I kind of want to add another wide receiver here, so I can just go tight end, and double. But I could try and grab the Rams, because the 15th round is the earliest I will ever possibly. So let's actually go Zach Ertz, so I have that possibility open to me, and I can maybe add my fourth running back at some point in this draft. So Jonnu Smith and Zach Ertz, that's not a world-beating tight end room. Calvin Ridley, Michael Thomas, T. Higgins, Robbie Anderson, Gabriel Davis. Gabriel Davis I just took because I think he's a guy who, you know, number one, the Bills ran a ton of 10 personnel. Brian Daboll's coming back. They're going to run a ton of 10 personnel, which is four wide receiver sets. So even if you think Emmanuel Sanders is ahead of Gabriel Davis, which I'm not sure that's a foregone conclusion, even though Emmanuel Sanders is one of my favorite wide receivers ever. But Gabriel Davis, I think, will at the very least give me 4 or 5 weeks of like 20-point fantasy weeks in that offense, that vertical separation that he can create, I think. And just he's a really well-rounded player. I really like a lot of what Gabriel Davis is going to bring to the table in that offense. And I think Brian Daboll found ways to use him. Like, there was one play I remember where this cornerback came in, it was first snap in the NFL, and Brian Daboll's like, okay, we're going to target that fucking clown. And Gabriel Davis went deep for a touchdown on that play. It was incredible. So I think that week he would have plugged into your lineup ahead of a guy like Christian Kirk, for example, who might plug into your lineup like two times all week because you're drafting him as your wide receiver five, and I'm not sure he has that big ceiling. Even though that might not, like, that's not the best example. Like, I'm thinking more like a Sterling Shepard or Jameson Crowder, or like guys like that, because Christian Kirk's, you know, his role actually kind of was, it morphed a little bit last year. He was used definitely down the field in a, he was the lid lifter in that Kingsbury offense last season. So tight end. Eh? So what I was getting at there, by the way, is the 15th round, I think, is the earliest you should possibly be considering a team defense. And almost every season, you're going to see a defense go in that 12 to 15 round range. But we don't have that this year. Maybe it's just a lot of sharp people are drafting before the NFL draft in these best ball tournaments. But you just don't see that this year because it is such a bad play and everyone knows it. So it's interesting also because, you know, the best defense, the number one defense drafted in fantasy, is rarely the team that actually scores the most points from a fantasy perspective on team defenses the upcoming year. But I think we have a couple interesting elements where I think the Rams are, I wouldn't say they're clearly the best defense in football, but I'll say they clearly have two of the best players in football, and they're both on their defense in Jalen Ramsey and Aaron the Goat Donald. So I think, and they just went at the 13-11th when I said that. So maybe in these live drafts, you get a little bit less, you like savvy owners. Like, people are just looking for that. That's why they call best ball the one night stand of fantasy, right? You can just hop in these drafts anytime. So yeah, the Rams won't be my pick, and I won't be taking any team defense at the 14-15, because I was going to say the only team I really want to entertain there, you know, it's going to be the Rams. And then there's an interesting pocket of team defenses that I just love. And I'm talking like, you know, the Steelers and Ravens and the Buccaneers, like teams like that will probably go before my pick at the end of the 16th, early 17th. And it might seem like a little bit of a reach, but I think I'm going to be in good position to still land three of my top 10 defenses. And I might like bend that rule a little bit because I think there are some really salivating defenses, like all the way down from the Colts, the Dolphins, the Bills. I think big rebound from the Bills coming on the defensive end. The 49ers should bounce back with some healthy bodies. You know, can they rebuild that secondary a little bit? The Saints, can they rebuild their secondary a little bit? But I still like that pick. The New England Patriots getting all those bodies back, going to play slow on offense. And the Kansas City Chiefs are so good that they're going to force turnovers and make teams play in very volatile ways. That leads to turnovers. The Cleveland Browns definitely building something special on that side of the football there. Chicago Bears, I don't like, actually. The New York Giants, I really like, actually. The Green Bay Packers are a defense I like. And the Denver Broncos would be like the bottom dollar defense, but I actually really like what they're doing. Like, their secondary is going to be mean. So I kind of hinted at it. Like, I'm going to have to change my strategy a little bit here. Like, not taking a defense. Daryl Henderson, definitely going to be a target of mine. I might see how long I can wait out on a Mike Boone. And Rashad Penny is another guy I'm looking at in this range. And I might still actually add Adam Trautman in the 15th round going back there. Which might sound like a reach. I don't know. I'm not sure where I'm supposed to be taking Adam Trautman in best balls. Like, his ADP, I guess it's like 180. So that's not bad. And then Trey Sermon is on the board here. So maybe I'll actually take Trey Sermon over Daryl Henderson, because I have quite a bit of Daryl Henderson. You know, we can get down rabbit holes about diversification in these best balls. Like, if I have a ton of Daryl Henderson, I definitely want to be taking a Trey Sermon for that upside, that he could have a good landing spot. And there's actually a lot to like about Trey Sermon, especially because he gets a little bit of, he gets hated on because he's pretty easy to hate on after he didn't do much before, you know, a big stretch at Ohio State there. But he has a lot of the physical tools that I think go under the radar, especially when it comes to like broad jump, 10 yard splits and the, like, he impressed me at his pro day. So let's go down here. John Brown, you son of a gun. I was just queued up John Brown and he went. The other interesting thing here is adding an Emmanuel Sanders, because I added a Gabriel Davis, right? So that those are some things you can do where you handcuff two wide receivers in an explosive passing game like that. And you're probably going to get some good spiked weeks from some of those ancillary pieces in such an explosive offense, even if Stephon Diggs is so entrenched as the number one there. Nelson Agholor, nope. So I should be running down some of this ADP too, I guess. I'm just trying to queue up players and talk, so it can get difficult. Rondell Moore, somebody I might look at here. Probably a little bit rich though, especially because I should add a running back 4 here, I think. I'm actually probably not going to add a wide receiver here, because round 16, I'll make one of those picks a wide receiver, one of those picks maybe a team defense on the back end in the 17th, and then I want to double up a defense in the 18th, 19th, even though I think I'm going to end up with, I might not love this team is what I'm saying. Can't win them all. And that's why I kind of want to add like a Rondell Moore is definitely an explosive option. Like, he could give you a handful of really big weeks if he lands in the right situation. Nice. Daryl Henderson went, so I don't have to make that decision. Cole Kmet also went. Justin Fields in the 14th round. Daniel Jones in the 14th round is just stealing. Obviously, offensive line, and we don't love Jason Garrett, but man, they got the weapons now, adding Kenny Golladay, and Daniel Jones was quietly exceptional throwing the ball downfield last year. Man, if I can get Trey Sermon in the at the end of the 14th, early 15th, that's so nice, because it's not a guy I have a ton of, because I don't see like a ton of pass-catching upside, but he's a rookie running back I want shares of before the NFL draft, and could literally double his cost in ADP or triple it, even if he's going in the 15th round. Say he lands in Atlanta, you know, people are going to take him in the fucking 5th round. So, Trey Sermon, let's go. I'm one pick away here, and I have a bad feeling. I was looking at it though, like, Chris Carson is on my team, right? And Russell Wilson. So I actually queued up Rashad Penny, who I think is still, like, he's going under the radar, I would say, because, so he took Tariq Cohen, which I like. I have a little bit of concern about Tariq Cohen, just having not seen the human joystick since that serious injury. I think Chicago sucks. I think their team is going to be really bad next year. Trey Sermon is definitely my pick here. I'm just kind of filibustering so I can make that next pick. Rashad Penny is like really interesting to me, but I don't want 5 running backs already, because I have Christian McCaffrey and I want to take Adam Trautman. So I am going to do a 3 quarterback, 3 tight end build. So it really changes my, so I've definitely been fluid here, I guess. I don't love my tight end room with Jonnu Smith, Zach Ertz, Adam Trautman, definitely banking on Zach Ertz landing somewhere, being that tight end one. Obviously I would love for him to land with the Colts, which is like a trendy one. I actually don't see that happening. I think they would have just got Philadelphia to eat some of his contract, throw him in that fucking deal with Wentz. I think that would have happened if they really wanted Zach Ertz, and they would have just been like, okay, well, let's just call it a first-round pick. It won't be a conditional first-round pick or something. I don't know. There's just a lot of ways that could have gone down where Zach Ertz just already would have been in Indianapolis. So Adam Trautman, though, I like him as a guy who could possibly break out. I know he didn't show too much in his first season, but he's so well-rounded. I think he's going to be on the field a ton with Jared Cook leaving. We also saw Jared Cook just be so incredibly efficient, have spike touchdown seasons, and that's where I really see Adam Trautman having some upside, is in that end zone, that role that he could end up serving in this offense. And I think this is still going to be a really good offense. I think it would shock people that this New Orleans offense that had Taysom Hill and, you know, just a motley crew scored more touchdowns than the Kansas City Chiefs last year. Just throw that out there. So some of these guys that I should be rattling off, because this ADP is getting pretty interesting around this point of the draft. So, Cole Kmet was in that 14th round. Rondell Moore actually went before my pick, so I wouldn't have been able to take him. He's somebody I've been just scooping up shares of, like, crazy in that 15th, 16th round, late 15th, late 16th even. But yeah, going in the 14th now, and I kind of seen that in a couple drafts, so that's a heads up. Trey Sermon is a guy who might be a guy I'm getting shares of at the end of the 14th or even into the 15th if that continues to happen over the next few weeks leading up to the NFL draft, because he isn't getting that much buzz. Adam Trautman, Terrence Marshall, another guy I've been scooping tons of shares up. I remember going in and doing best balls in, early March, and you could get Terrence Marshall as your last pick. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, he was in that 16th to 17th round range, and he continues to move up the board. I think he's also a very strong candidate to be drafted in the first round by a team in the NFL. Jamar Jefferson, 15-4. I'm not saying he's the most overrated rookie running back in best ball right now. But I just don't love Jamar Jefferson like everybody seems to. But, you know, I'm never going to condemn somebody for making a pick in the 15th round. Austin Hooper, just don't really love that pick. There's, you know, David Njoku's there. Harrison Bryant is just, I don't know if Austin Hooper is going to have much. He seems like the guy who's, like, locked into block, too. And there's going to be lots of run blocking in that Browns offense. Oh, my boy, Mike Boone, 15-8. So Mike Boone, somebody I have in almost every draft. So I was kind of like, yeah, maybe I won't take him in this one, see where he should be going, so I don't, like, you know, drive up this guy's ADP too much. But yeah, he went at the end of the 15th round. I just think with Melvin Gordon basically the only guy in front of him, Royce DeFive Freeman isn't somebody I'm super interested in. I think Mike Boone might be like a better version of Royce Freeman. A lot of the same attributes we like about Royce Freeman, but with a little bit more oomph, I would say. A little more burst, a little more explosion. Damian Williams, speaking of none of those things, another guy who I think people love him because he's got that size speed thing going on, but definitely a... one of the more boomer bust running backs you'll ever see. Like, he could break off a 50-yard run one play, and then how long is it going to be until he breaks off another one? That's how I see Damian Williams. Paris Campbell, Nelson Agholor, both picks that I don't have a ton of interest in, especially in the 15th round. Gerald Everett at the 16-1. Is he the tight end to own in Seattle? Maybe. Why didn't I add him on a team with Russell Wilson? Because I think that answer could be Will Disley. Who knows? Might go back to that whole blocking, like, what is this offensive identity in Seattle through and through. So Rashad Penny is definitely in my queue here still. He would be my last running back, though. I'm actually considering doing a four quarterback build here. It would depend how these team defenses fall here, just because if I can get Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, I might double up at defense here. And it would be a little bit of a reach to take this second defense, whether it be the Dolphins, Bills, 49ers, Saints, Patriots, Chiefs, Browns. Any of those defenses would be a reach to take them in the 17th round. With, you know, this would be my fourth to last pick, 20, 19, 18, 17. Yep. So a little bit of a reach, but at the same time, it's this pocket of the offseason that I like to take advantage of doing exactly that, so I can add rookie running backs at the end of my draft. And, you know, I do need to add a wide receiver still as well, if not two. So this is where you start counting how many picks you have left, what you want to do in roster construction. And obviously I've already, you know, put a lot on my plate with three quarterbacks and three tight ends. So having Christian McCaffrey, having that strong four wide receiver core goes a long way to being the reason why I'm comfortable still doing those. And the way the board felt with those team defenses, obviously, adding three top 10 defenses is just not really in the cards anymore. The pick that is standing out at wide receiver would be Russell Gage, Elijah Moore. Russell Gage, just because his ADP is always going to be that. Like, I actually think he might be a little bit of an overrated pick in that 16th round range. You know, I'd definitely be taking over some of the guys that we've seen go, but I am more interested in him because I have Calvin Ridley on my team, and you know, he's not a guy that we have any concerns about. He's pretty locked into that slot role. How much, you know, is that three wide receiver rate going to go down in Atlanta? Definitely. That's the concern there with Russell Gage. Elijah Moore is somebody who, you know, if he goes in the top 50 picks of the NFL draft, I'm really going to like Elijah Moore. You know, does he take some time to develop? Maybe. Because, you know, that's the thing about a lot of these. Like, he could just be a role player in an offense in year one. And serve a niche almost, and be used on jet sweeps, kind of that style. And that's the question we have with a lot of these wide receivers in this class. But I think Elijah Moore, out of a lot of these guys, is the least, you know, he brings the least vertical element to that slot position among some of those guys that people are talking about. So maybe it won't be early, because this there's a big run here. So the Buccaneers defense went almost immediately after I said that. Rashad Penny went as well, who was the running back I was thinking of, maybe dipping my toe. So the Dolphins defense also went, the Bills defense also went, and then right before me, the 49ers defense went. And I think I am going to take the Saints defense or the Patriots defense. I think I might double up here, actually, defense. I might. Because Russell Gage, Elijah Moore, 2, 4, 6. This would make it so I almost have to do a 4-time build. Or I could add 2 team defenses here and just do 2 team defenses, which is risky with no bye weeks, obviously. And honestly, I have a hard time picking between these defenses. And the irony is, it's really like there's no great process to pick between these defenses. So I took New England there. And I think I'm going to take Elijah Moore just because there's some upside there. And he's going to go up in ADP. So I took Elijah Moore because I needed a 6th wide receiver here. I don't want to go. I don't like making my last picks a wide receiver. It's just a little more sketchy, and they have a little less. Like, running backs have much higher hit rates at the very end of the draft. And that's, you know, like, obviously high hit rates is a relative term there. But I'm looking at guys whose ADP could rise, you know what I mean? And Elijah Moore is one of those guys. Somebody else is like a Kadarius Toney, who actually went at the 17-2 there. He's one of the rare wide receivers I've taken with my last pick, actually. I don't know. Elijah Moore has a wide range of outcomes right as we sit here, right? So he could go late 2nd round in a bad spot, and he could have very little fantasy appeal to me, because I think he might be a better real-life player than fantasy player anyways. But I think he has some volume upside. So in this format, in PPR, when I added a Gabriel Davis, a Robbie Anderson in front of him, maybe he builds in a little bit of stability, to be honest. When it comes to Elijah Moore, probably won't be like a super volatile player. And if he hits, it'll probably be as like a team's, you know, locked in slot wide receiver. But what we hope is that he isn't just used in like a gadgety way, which is definitely why I'm not interested in Kadarius Toney in the 17th round. That's someone I'm only taking if he's there at the very end of the draft. And yeah, just identifying some of these guys that we think, like Russell Gage is somebody that if I want to get shares of, I'll always be able to get shares of this offseason in the 16th round. You know what I mean? Whereas I know if Elijah Moore gets drafted to a certain situation, or even, you know, if he goes like 35th overall or whatever, there's multiple ways where he could rise in ADP, even if it's camp buzz come OTAs and all that. So there's a lot of ways that Elijah Moore will be somebody who you're happy you scooped up some shares of in the 16th round. Also just kind of complements my wide receiver room, where I don't really have a slot wide receiver in there. You know, you need that slot wide receiver somewhere. Except I do have Michael Thomas, obviously. I don't know what he is, what we count him as. Doesn't matter. So Russell Gage went at the 17-11. And so 18, 19, 20. So I have my 3 picks left. There's a way I could just go 6 wide receivers here. There's a way I could just go 4 running backs. So I have a little bit of flexibility here. But if I wanted to add another running back and another wide receiver, that would mean that I'm left with just 2 team defenses, right? And while that, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. Like, I don't care if I was to land the Cleveland Browns here, which won't happen at the end of the 18th, early 19th here, I won't get the Browns. But if I were to, You know, I'd almost be compelled to not take another defense because there just won't be one that I feel like is making any impact at all. And literally, yeah, they went at the 17-12 there, just as I said that. So I really wish I took the Patriots just because I have a lot of faith in that, like, a lot of the talent there. And, you know, they're getting some opt-outs back. They made, you know, their splashes they made on offense made a lot of noise, obviously, but they actually made a lot of moves on defense as well. So I think New England, you know, I just think that whole division kind of, like, aside from the Buffalo Bills, like, there just might be some tight defensive games between New England, Miami, New England Jets. And I just like that New England defense. So took them, and, you know, I might have to add three here, but I have to decide if I do that, do I want to go with just six wide receivers or just four running backs? So what would you do if you had Calvin Ridley, Michael Thomas, T. Higgins, Robbie Anderson, Gabriel Davis, and Elijah Moore? Would you just go with those guys and take three defenses? Which, remember, it's not as profitable if they're not three of the top 10 defenses, right? Or would you go Christian McCaffrey, Chris Carson, Mike Davis, and Trey Sermon as your only guys? So that's it's not an easy decision, I don't think. And I know it, you know, there's one of those conundrums where running back's such a sexier pick, you know, in a vacuum over a wide receiver. Like, it's just so much funner to see a running back blow up, and you'll see more of, like, you're not going to find many wide receivers who are going to have a blow up season, if any, in a season, historically, at this range of the draft when it comes to the wide receiver position, whereas you will find that here and there at the running back position. So that's why, another reason why you kind of lean running back over wide receiver in those kind of debates. But at the same time, this is a pocket of the draft where you can still find some values in wide receivers. And somebody like Emmanuel Sanders, I think, makes sense for my roster construction with Gabriel Davis on the team. I think you just build in, like, you're going to miss on picks anyways. So if I'm making a pick like Gabriel Davis and Emmanuel Sanders, if one of those two players gets hurt, they're going to have a lot of upside. If they're cannibalizing each other, I think it'll be on, like, a weekly basis, like game planning and situations and cornerback matchups. So I think both those players are going to have spiked weeks. And there's also a lot of work, like Jack Miller's done some work at RotoViz about building some age into your team. Like, Elijah Moore might not have been a very good pick there, even though he seems like he is. Like, Emmanuel Sanders might be the better pick than Elijah Moore in that spot, just because they have a little bit better hit rates when it comes to veteran players. And a lot of those studies have surprised me, but I've seen a couple from people I trust, and the numbers are the number. So I've been trying to do that a little bit more. And I think, like, why would I add and when you do that, you want to add, like, an Emmanuel Sanders later, I guess. He seems like a better arbitrage than a T.Y. Hilton, and, like, who's still going in, like, that 12th round now that he's back with the Colts. Some of the other names that I'm looking at wide receiver here, Sammy Watkins, who obviously signed with Baltimore. We called that, by the way, too, at the TNFF pod, just bringing up Dez. And now they seem pretty comfortable going with a veteran, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, DeSean Jackson, we called that one, going to L.A., the Sean McVay reunion. also called it the only place we would have any interest in DeSean Jackson. What's interesting here is Van Jefferson and DeSean Jackson are available. Jalen Guyton and Tyron Johnson. These are all stacks that you can do at this point of the draft that I don't hate. I think it's like kind of what I'm getting at with the Emmanuel Sanders thing. So the defenses really, really dried up on me there. like, really bad. So I'm going to go Seattle Seahawks defense here, just because, like, the other teams are gross and they actually had a really good second half of the season after having a pretty fucking historically bad first half of the season. And the Eagles are interesting because they got to go cornerback at 12. They got to go cornerback at 12. A lot of the going-ons with this movement in the draft, like, if they can land, frig, maybe even a Patrick Surtain, could you imagine? But I think Horn is just, you know, he's shoehorned into that 12 spot. So should I go the Eagles defense, go three defenses? I'm going to do it. And then I can have all this time until it wraps around and I have to make my decision on another wide receiver or running back. So Christian McCaffrey, Chris Carson, Mike Davis, Trey Sermon, probably need another running back. Calvin Ridley, Michael Thomas, T. Higgins, Robbie Anderson, Gabriel Davis, Elijah Moore. And, you know, you can also have at your disposal the hit rates associated with roster construction. So knowing that teams who have just four running backs on their team win their leagues in best ball tournaments at a higher rate than teams who have six wide receivers on their team. So like four running back is a team build that you can definitely expect a decent ROI, or at least know that it doesn't really put you against the math, so to speak. But six wide receivers is really not a team build you see very often. So I really am keying in on Emmanuel Sanders with that last pick. And I think I have talked myself into taking a wide receiver. And that's the debate I'm having like internally here, is like, should I take a wide receiver who, you know, is probably not going to have that top 10 season. You know, he's not going to be a wide receiver one. He might not even give you more than a handful of spiked weeks if you're lucky. Or should you take a running back who has that, whether it's a 1% or 5% chance, but he has a chance to blow up, like an Aaron Jones or, you know, we've made those picks historically, Austin Eckler, all these guys. So, just to put it out there, the running back I would be keying in on here is Darrell Williams, Kansas City Chiefs. Kylan Hill, still on the board. That's a rookie running back who a lot of people like. Darrington Evans is somebody who, for some reason, I just can't quit. Was a third-round pick for the Titans. Didn't see him much last year. Salvin Ahmed, I think, is somebody I still want a couple shares of. Keyshawn Vaughn, definitely falling down my boards. Ty Johnson is somebody that is definitely on nobody's radar, but I have him ranked up here. There's definitely some rookie running backs that I'm forgetting here. Oh, because I'm on ADP. I think Wayne Gallman is not the worst pick, just because I think there's some interesting arguments to be made for Wayne Gallman versus like the running back six or whoever you have past the top three in this class. Like, is Kenny Gainwell definitively a better option for an offense next year than Wayne Gallman? I think what I'm saying is Wayne Gallman could get signed by a team who misses out on a running back who is hoping, because there's a lot of teams actually vying for, you know, the Steelers, the Jets, the Falcons. There's teams who want to add a running back here. And Javion Hawkins and Jared Patterson are definitely the options as well from that rookie running back crop. Jared Patterson, I just can't. I want him. Someone just took Gio Bernard. Wow, he just got cut, if people didn't know. And Wayne Gallman went right after him. Brashad Perryman. So these are picks like Quintez Cephas. No, thank you. Van Jefferson. Well, I don't mind Van Jefferson. It's just like I almost want, and that's what I'm getting at with these pairings you can do with the Jalen Guyton and Tyron Johnson. You know, Emmanuel Sanders, Gabriel Davis is what I'm going to try here. And I just realized I had the first overall pick, so Emmanuel Sanders could be Mr. Irrelevant in this draft. But the point I'm making is, like, what you're doing is, yeah, you're not going to get these top 12 weeks from these wide receivers you're drafting this late in the draft. Even going back to guys I took like Gabriel Davis and Elijah Moore. But what you can get is when you put together all the guys who score 15 points in a fantasy season, right? If you were to say, you know, Stephon Diggs did it 11 times, Devontae Adams did it, whatever. You rank all that. I think if you were to add Emmanuel Sanders and Gabriel Davis's weeks of giving guys 15 fantasy points, they would end up a lot higher than people would think in that list. Same with guys like Tyron Johnson, Jalen Guyton. So I feel like it's kind of accepting that you're not going to hit on every pick, especially a late round wide receiver. But if you can add two of them and try and take advantage of exactly that theory, you can definitely compensate for not getting the same kind of ceiling or upside from the pick that you might get by taking a running back, if that makes any sense. If not, talk me off the ledge on that one via Twitter. So this draft's pretty much over. I just have to make that one more pick. The picks are just horrible at this point. AJ Green, Dan Arnold. I mean, tight ends hit rates at this point in the draft are non-existent, but you know, Dan Arnold has a chance to catch some passes in Carolina. You know, there's some guys that I didn't really point out that I wanted to, now that I think of it. Taysom Hill going in this draft in a one quarterback draft. That's interesting. Lynn Bowden, definitely a late round running back I would have had on my list. Darrell Williams, though, like, people, what are you guys doing? Take Darrell Williams. Tevin Coleman, don't want him anywhere in the draft. No, he just signed with the Jets. Latavius Murray, Latavius in the 17th. Brian Edwards, you know, I just can't do it with him. Especially post-Kenyon Drake signing. Josh Reynolds, you know, going to the Titans. What's his role going to be in the 16th round there? Yeah, so these are pretty boring picks once you get in that back half. So maybe I'll just run down my team after we finish here. let everyone know what I did. So we're a few picks away, and I'm probably taking a veteran wide receiver here. Ryan Fitzpatrick in the 13th. He went before Tua. You should always buy quarterbacks who are drafted in the top 10 heading into their sophomore season. And Tua's getting an array of weapons, including more to come in the draft. Scott Miller. It's Scotty. What are you doing, MFL? Traquan Smith. What am I doing? That's who I should have added, even though I would have got sniped and just absolutely hard fucking broken there. So I'm not going to overthink it anymore. I'm just going to take Emmanuel Sanders. I spent 10 minutes coming up with that bogus thesis. I am just salty now. So Traquan Smith would have been a really good add on a team that you have Adam Troutman and Michael Thomas. And the Saints have a really condensed offense right now. They're heading into the draft where they really had to make room on the cap in this very unique season. Like, the Saints have been one of the teams who've been showing us how malleable the cap is, but this was the year where it kind of finally, those taxes came due. And long story short, I think they're going to have to add a lot of defensive pieces to replenish that secondary in particular, maybe another linebacker for the Saints. So they have a lot of work to do, I think, in the draft, getting that defense back to par. And I think that'll leave Adam Troutman and Traquan Smith as possibly that wide receiver to own. Maybe even Marquez Callaway come the regular season. That'll be a name or an OTAs to monitor. But yeah, I think Traquan Smith would have been a good add there with Michael Thomas and Adam Troutman on my team. So let's look at my team. My quarterbacks are Russell Wilson, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence. I think I really not only circumvented the fact that I didn't get a top five quarterback in this draft or ADP wise, I think Russell Wilson has top five upside. I think Joe Burrow can deliver lots of top 5 weeks in that scheme under Zach Taylor with the weapons at his disposal. And Trevor Lawrence is going to be really good and might take the league by storm. Could happen in year one. Could, when Russell Wilson is giving me those fucking second half starts that he's given us over the last couple of years, hopefully Trevor Lawrence is just coming into his own. Hopefully Joe Burrow is fully over the injury, giving me the spiked week. So I think having Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence over the second half of a season would completely compensate for Russell Wilson just doing what he's done over the last couple of years. And then at the running back position, I had the number one pick, # Christian McCaffrey, no matter what. Chris Carson to pair with Russell Wilson, monopolize the rushing touchdowns in Seattle. Mike Davis and Trey Sermon, so a light running back room, and really banking on Atlanta not adding a running back unless it's Trey Sermon. That would be funny. But Mike Davis and Trey Sermon, and Chris Carson is not a, if he fumbles 3 times in the first 5 games, he could lose his job. We know he had issues with ball security. We know he's had issues with injury, his running style, the violence. It's a recipe for disaster when you look at this basketball team. But if Mike Davis hits, if Trey Sermon somehow hits, it's definitely, I don't think I'll lose this draft because of my running backs when I have Christian McCaffrey on the team, who literally scores like 2 RB1s. So wide receivers, I have Calvin Ridley, Michael Thomas, T. Higgins, Robbie Anderson, Gabriel Davis, Elijah Moore, Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, Calvin Ridley, Michael Thomas, I think are a stellar one too. I think they both have upside. I think they both have really good floors in 2021. T. Higgins, I think if Cincinnati doesn't add a wide receiver in the first couple rounds, is really set to take that sophomore step with A.J. Green gone. Like, he could, I'm not kidding you, like T. Higgins, if it's just Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins in that wide receiver room that of consequence, basically, this guy is going to lead the league in end zone targets and in air yards and deep targets. Like, T. Higgins has about as high of a ceiling as almost any wide receiver in the league going forward. Robbie Anderson is with his boy, Matt Rhule. Unfortunately, his fucking boy, Sam Darnold, is going to be throwing to him again. We know it didn't go so great in New York, but I have a lot of faith in that scheme and Joe Brady's ability to scheme up the deep pass. Remember, he comes from the Saints organization. So I have a lot of faith in Robbie Anderson, at least giving me those big spiked weeks that we know he's always getting. Like, I think that's his floor, and getting him in the 7th round felt like a steal. Gabriel Davis, I paired with Emmanuel Sanders. I kind of explained that theory and why I did that. Elijah Moore, just a guy I'm trying to identify as somebody who I won't be getting at the end of the 16th round very often, so I did take him there. And I did go with 3 tight ends and 3 team defenses. That's why I ended up with that 4 running back build. So Jonnu Smith, Zach Ertz, Adam Troutman. Jonnu Smith, Zach Ertz, Adam Troutman. Not a very strong tight end room, but you know, there's upside there, I guess. New England Patriots, Seattle Seahawks, Philadelphia Eagles. So I didn't get my hands on three top 10 defenses. I got my hands on three defenses that none of which could finish top 10. That's a possibility as well. but I don't mind those defenses at all. And I think the Patriots hopefully can have that bounce back season on that side of the ball. So thanks so much for listening. Let me know if you think I'm toast or if I ruin this team getting Christian McCaffrey and then ignoring running back for most of the draft. Let me know what you think of it at TNFF Tyrell, at TNFF Pod, at True North FFB. And make sure you check us out on the Fantasy Points media group. We were very happy to be joining that group alongside some of the biggest names in the industry. We are just in the minor leagues there, but definitely check us out. Subscribe on all the platforms via the Fantasy Points media group. Just Google True North Fantasy Points media group and it'll come up. But thanks so much for joining me. And I'm sure I'll throw some stuff in the description down below to make sure you can see the stuff.